name is Vicki Wilbers, and I'm the Executive Director of the Missouri Dental Association.
And I'm Melissa Albertson, and I'm Assistant Executive Director of Communications.
You've come up with some interesting facts about people going to see their dentist and what their overall dental health is. So let's kind of run through that. One of the things you find is that the recommendation is people go see the dentist a couple of times a year, but not that many people actually do. Is that right?
That's correct. What the results showed is that it said that Missouri adults, 80% know they should have routine twice a year dental checkups, but a little more than about half, 58%, are actually doing that.
What, do they at least go once a year?
I don't know that the results show that, do they, Melissa?
Yeah.
It says 1 in 10 admits they do not get routine checkups.
Mm-hmm. And some have gone quite a while without even seeing the dentist at all.
That's correct.
What's can you give me a breakdown of the
40%
ones?
40% have gone 6 months or less without seeing their dentist. The majority, 56%, have gone 9 months or more. And a quarter have gone 2 years or more.
Well, I can understand that with a lot of young people who goes off to college and don't go to see a dentist. But adults, that's got to be kind of distressing to you folks in the dental industry, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, we thought that it might show the reasons that they were waiting to have those mm-hmm. checkups were related to insurance or cost. And those were factors, but one of the big factors was just didn't get around to making appointments, didn't really prioritize it, even if they had insurance.
Do they just wait until they feel like there's a hole in a tooth somewhere and it hurts too much for them, so they finally get around to making an appointment? Is that a motivating factor for a lot of these folks?
Absolutely.
And we face that all the time, and that's a big emphasis of this, mm-hmm. is prevention, mm-hmm. Those twice yearly or, you know, even once yearly dental visits where they can detect problems early are going to be a lot less costly than the issues down the road if you wait until it hurts. Because that could indicate, as you said, decay. That then is going to take a restoration of some sort. It could indicate even a greater degree of decay that could call for a root canal or crown. And then just infections of the gum, gum disease, that then takes a longer time to get a hold of getting that corrected. Mm-hmm. It might be able to be fixed with the restoration, but if it's gum disease or something like that, that's going to probably take more visits to the dentist to get that under control. And then you just have to be more that much more vigilant because you're susceptible to that.
And one additional concern that we have when they're not going to the dentist on a regular basis, especially the adults, obviously, is that they are the ones that make the decisions and the impact on their children. So this ultimately probably is affecting the children, too, if they're individuals that obviously have children. You know, it's a concern that if they're not going as an adult, they don't see it as a priority for their children either.
Well, I noticed one of the things in the findings is that 39% of those who surveyed cite lack of insurance. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, dental insurance is kind of an option with many plans, especially employer-supported plans. Is that one of the issues? Is because dental insurance is not just part of their regular health insurance plan?
Sure. Absolutely it is.
And we, you know, that's always a frustration for not only us here and the issues that we deal with, but dentists in practice too, you know, because the mouth, the head, has been removed from total health. And so that's a big emphasis of this effort and the campaign we did too, was to say oral health is important mm-hmm. to total health. You know, not only can the dental decay and disease create lost hours at school, lost hours at work, but also increasingly studies linking it to preterm and low birth weight, babies linking it to heart disease mm-hmm. and other complications. It's a big factor in controlling diabetes. If you have gum disease and issues, that it's important that you have good oral health care. So there are a lot of issues even for older adults with dry mouth and you know, different issues that they have. There's so many ways that it's connected to a person's total health. And, you know, even personally, how often, or if you, you know, if you get a toothache or if you have a sore in your mouth, how much it affects you being able to think and work, and because it's just very present. So that is definitely a concern because it does affect total health. And it's just been removed in terms of being supported through insurance programs.
Well, I suppose a lot of people are going to say, what is the connection between poor dental health and heart disease, or poor dental health and diabetes? Just because I don't brush my teeth, am I going to have a heart attack? What is the link between poor dental health and these other diseases? Is it bacterial? What is it?
It is bacterial. It's the bacterial infection that, you know, can go through the body. You know, I don't think that our message is you have poor dental health, you're going to have a heart attack. However, it's I believe there's studies that that they show that those that have had, you know, heart attacks, and it indicates in preterm births and those types of things that are occurring, that those individuals have had poor dental health. Mm-hmm. So it's linking them. I'm not saying it's a direct cause and effect, but it is linking them, and that's what the studies have shown. And increasingly, I believe the insurance companies actually are doing studies that are showing these types of things. Again, dental insurance is usually an option, but there are a lot of studies out there that are showing the link between the, and it's bacterial infections really is what it is.
Well, I was thinking that perhaps it was a case of people who don't go see the dentist on a regular basis probably are the same people who are not going to go see their regular doctor, whether it's for prenatal care or postnatal care or adult care. These are people just who don't have that much to do with the medical profession generally, and not going to see the dentist is only one part of that.
I don't know that.
Yeah, and I don't know that anything that we ask indicated that, but certainly, you know, we in our messages say, dentists are doctors. They're doctors of oral health, and they can not only look at, you know, whether you have decay in your mouth, but they're on the front lines of finding oral cancer. You know, they can, you know, make suggestions for you to talk to your physician about whether it's, you know, dry, you know, if they see dry mouth and maybe that a physician has prescribed a certain medication, and being aware of those complications and how they affect the oral cavity. So, you know, there's kind of that knowledge, too, that they can help with, you know, even things like teeth grinding. And, I mean, it's not just
bad
the
breath,
decay,
yeah.
Bad breath. I mean, just and that might be connected to other health issues that a person isn't recognizing.
I was looking at your news release, and the one thing that jumped out at one of the back pages here is teeth whitening can affect oral health. How does making my teeth whiter make my teeth worse?
Well, and it's not in so much a negative way. It's just that there are a lot of over-the-counter products, and there are sometimes there is teeth whitening that's being performed in kiosk or standalone type businesses that is not in a dental office. And so, you know, we have encouraged that people ask their dentist first about the cause of the discoloration and what they can do with whitening to get a good result and to not possibly go to see someone who's outside the dental profession who does the whitening services and may not be aware of other issues that are going on in their oral health.
Because it really is, sensitivity is a huge issue with when you whiten your teeth. And those that are outside the dental profession, when you're dealing with a mouth that has the sensitivity issue, the kiosk and those types of things in a lot of, well, actually they are somewhat regulated now in the state of Missouri, but if there's not proper regulation, it can be harmful if you're putting on the peroxide that is a higher concentration. And I'm not saying that they are or they're not, but it really, the issue is it comes down to there could be other issues in the mouth, sensitivity and those types of things, and you can, when you whiten your teeth, it can cause severe issues for you. And so it's recommended that, you know, you at least consult with your dental professional before you make a decision.
Sure, and to ask them if, I mean, depending on, you know, to also just in terms of efficacy, you know, the products that are over-the-counter are a lower concentration of the bleaching agent, so consumers who use those may not see the results that they want to versus something that can be done in a dental office. Again, it's just having that conversation about with your dentist about just your oral hygiene, your oral, you know, practices in terms of if you want to bleach, you know, that they can make recommendations to you and consult with you on that. Just so that you have a positive experience and outcome with it.
You cite affordability as one of the reasons why people don't go see dentists on a regular basis. And it, you know, what you say here is that it's one of these cases of basically you pay me now or you pay me later, and if you pay me later, it's going to be a whole lot more. Is that kind of a way to read what you're, what one of the points that you're making here is about going into the dentist regularly to prevent things?
Correct. I mean, if you go to the dentist on a regular basis, the hope is that you will certainly prevent tooth decay, and you will at least have, you know, better oral hygiene habits. So, you know, it's the hope that you go now and you continue to have good habits over a lifetime, and you will have less of an issue at a latter time.
And this is an approximation, but, you know, having a cleaning, having an X-ray, you know, talking about probably a couple $100 or less versus having a restoration, having a root canal, having a crown, which can range into several hundreds or even thousands of dollars, depending on the severity of it, and it just being very hard then to catch up with correcting those issues that, if you went in and could have prevented them. And, you know, education is so important. I know personally for myself, I have all of my wisdom teeth yet, and they're all through. And I have requested to my dentist that if I don't have to have them pulled, I would like to keep them. And so he said, as long as you keep the decay out of them, you can keep them, and we don't have to extract them. And something I did a couple of years ago for myself was have sealants put on those back teeth to help keep the decay out of them and to keep those teeth longer. So that was just an education for me to know what I could do for prevention to keep those teeth as long as I could, and then a consumer choice that I made to have that done. So, you know, I work for the Dental Association, and I have all this education in front of me, but was consulting with my dentist about what my desires were for keeping my mouth healthy and learning about what my options were. Getting that education then helped me to prevent having to have my wisdom teeth extracted, which will be, if the time comes that I have to have it done, several hundred dollars probably to have that done.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just that education, those conversations can really help prevent a lot of the disease that's out there. And we hope for the adults really to take it home to their children. There is such a prevalence of decay in very, very young mouths, and there's a lot out there that affects that. I mean, yes, it is oral hygiene, but as you probably know, Bob, there's tons of food choices and drink choices that are full of sugar and acid, and all of those can just wreak havoc on a young person's mouth, that if they don't have good hygiene and really aren't prioritizing that, can kind of set up a lifetime of issues. And so we hope that it trickles down from the adults, especially the moms, who are often the gatekeepers of their family's oral health and everything from, you know, their nutrition habits, to set that up early, you know, and to get those good habits established early. And it's not just oral hygiene. It is nutrition. It is just knowing, like we just said a little bit ago, how your oral health really affects your total health.
A minute ago when you talked about going to see a dentist for a regular basis, spending $100 or $200, that's still quite a bit of money for an awful lot of folks. What does the industry do, or what does the profession do to make its services affordable, especially to people who don't have $100 or $200 to spend every 6 months to go see a dentist?
Well, what the profession has done on a regular basis, of course, there's Medicaid, which does cover kids. Unfortunately, Medicaid does not cover adults. And that is an ongoing issue, and it's something that we have tried to focus on legislatively for the last 5 years that it has not been in existence. And we also have tried to increase rates, which we have over the last several years, at least for those that are covered under Medicaid. So it's something that we work very, very hard legislatively to try to be able to provide those that are in dire need the ability to go. Additionally, I mean, there are other things. There's a lot of charitable care. And interestingly enough, our dentists don't report that very well because a lot of them just do it on a regular basis, and they don't really talk about it. Now, there are events, regular events held. There's a Give Kids a Smile Day that's held every year, and it's a national. It's actually a it started in St. Louis, Missouri, as an event there with a group of dentists. And they do it actually twice, if not three times a year, where you are provided dental care for free. So there are avenues, especially for children at this point in time, to get care throughout the state. St. Louis is the main hub. They do a really large event. Kansas City and UMKC School of Dentistry provides care, too. And actually, they've been able to provide care for adults and children for many years through the dental school. So that's an option for some. But unfortunately, with the economy, it has become even an issue there to be able to provide that care because they are not reimbursed properly, even at the dental school. But there are events held throughout the state, Give Kids a Smile events held throughout the state. There are a lot of dentists that, again, you know, people that need the care, they walk into an office, and a lot of times, you know, they will be provided the care. Also, there is a donated dental services program. It provides care for those that are eligible. Most of those individuals are developmentally disabled. Sometimes they have to go through a process to see whether they're eligible for that program. That is a program that is supported by the state through funding of about $65,000, and they provide care for about 200 DD individuals a year, and they provide about $650,000 worth of care a year. Additionally, the Dental Association has embarked on a Missions of Mercy project. And these are done in 13 other states at this point in time. We will be providing a 2-day free dental clinic next year for anyone that walks through the door. We'll see between 1,000 and 1,500 patients over a 2-day period. That is additionally completely volunteer, and the Dental Association's Foundation, Missouri Dental Association Foundation, is actually spearheading that. A committee is spearheading that project. It'll be held in September of next year. As for, you know, individuals that come through the office, every dentist is obviously a small business owner. They're individual. Most of them are private practitioners, but there also are clinics. There are federally qualified healthcare centers that individuals can go to receive care. So there are a lot of ways that an individual can receive dental care. Through a clinic, it's provided on a sliding scale, obviously depending on your income. So there are a lot of ways that individuals can receive care throughout the state, and we hope that, you know, with this public education campaign, that it will drive them to want to receive care.
You know, and beyond that, I mean, like we've talked before and earlier, you know, some of it is affected by, like you said, dental care being included in medical insurance. You know, if you look at your medical visits, most of those range around that same cost for an office visit. Mm-hmm. But we're used to having, if we have medical insurance, paying a copay that's a reduced rate. And so we don't always actually know or think about as often what that true cost of that office visit is. But even beyond that, the message of the campaign that we did as a result of these survey findings was really the individual's role in their oral health prevention, prevention of disease. All of the materials we did focused on, brush, floss, see your dentist, do those simple things, but here's other tips. And we did it across, we like to say dental health by the decades. We looked at messages for young children and what they could be doing in terms of their nutrition and fluoride toothpaste and when to start brushing and those kind of things. We looked at teens and young adults and the issues that we talked about oral piercing and how that can affect your oral health. So we did adults, we did diabetes, older adults, pregnancy. So with each of those messages that we did, they were really yes, we want you to see your dentist. We want you to make that a priority so that you can prevent disease and bigger problems. But here's a ton of tips for you to take charge of your oral health and prevention at home, just by the choices you're making with oral hygiene, with nutrition, with other things that are related to oral health. So, that's an important emphasis of this is an individual's role in prevention, that they can prevent dental disease.
For the people who can't afford to make these twice-a-year visits or even maybe once-a-year visits, what's the best thing for them to do? Should they check with their county health department and find out where to go for these services at low or no cost to them? Or where should they go to find out where they can go?
We do have a page on our website, modental.org. If they go to the section for consumers, there is an area where they can find links and information to the information that we have available about resources out there. Yes, to check in their communities. There's sometimes, often we try to keep a good pulse on what's going on out there, but sometimes we don't know about opportunities, clinics, charitable type things that are in a community. So I would say their local health department in St. Louis, Kansas City, and Springfield, we have component societies that have offices that may have a better
pulse on what's going on in that area.
Well, and ultimately, what can someone do, and it has nothing to do with visiting a dental office, would be to brush and floss twice a day. I mean, it truly might sound ludicrous, but it probably is as simple as that. And there are a lot of ways that, again, that people can, there are people out there, we realize that, really probably can't even afford the floss or the toothbrush, but there are a lot of health fairs. There's a lot of ways that people can get those type of items in order to be able to brush and floss twice a day.
And that's another thing we're doing, too, with our efforts. We're really trying to work through third-party organizations, the United Way, the Heart Association, Diabetic Association, to just get that prevention message out there, to have those materials out there so they can get educated. We have our dentists who are going to speak at hospitals that have diabetes education groups. Just yesterday sent materials for a dentist who is presenting at a family fun that is going to be in Columbia this weekend, a family fun health fair event, and we'll actually be giving away some free dental supplies there. So there are different ways that we're trying to get that message out there and just help them to learn more about the importance of their oral health.